Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, today we're celebrating with the church a feast of St. Mary Magdalene, a central figure in the Gospels, a close friend of Jesus, somebody who walked with Jesus through much of his ministry, but also the first witness to the resurrection. And Mary was also at the crucifixion of Jesus with Mary, Jesus' mother, and the church rightly honors her. And so I want to look at some of the readings that were given today, because it describes in some ways the unique relationship Mary had with Jesus, but at the same time, she's simply another important biblical expression of what it means to be a disciple. A disciple is somebody who's radically converted to Jesus, and Mary witnesses to us what Jesus calls each and every one of us to do, and that is to radically surrender our lives to him and to seek him first. The passage from Matthew's gospel, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, and everything will be added unto you, is a central passage in my own life, but also witnessed beautifully in the life of Mary, that she sought Jesus first. So let's take a look at some of the passages. First, taken from, let's look at Luke chapter 8. It describes who Mary is, in just briefly, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, preaching and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, his 12 apostles, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. So there was a group of women that traveled with Jesus and the 12 apostles, which means they were very close to Jesus, very close to the apostles, very involved in the ministry that was unfolding as the message of the kingdom was going forth. And what looks here like they provided financial assistance and personal care for Jesus and for the disciples. So she must have been a person of some means. Mark describes the same reality of what Mary's encounter with Jesus meant initially. When she encountered Jesus, Jesus delivered her. He delivered her from demons. You know, in Mark's gospel, he says that he had cast out 7 demons from her. So Mary was somebody who was profoundly touched by Jesus, whose life was radically transformed. And she came from a life of somehow being enslaved and trapped by evil spirits. Could be something that she was involved in spiritually, could be habit patterns of sin that opened doorways in her life. We don't really know. There's not a lot of data about that. There's really none of it in the Gospels. Mary Magdalene is often assumed to be, for many, many years, assumed to be, you know, the woman caught in adultery, or the woman who came in and washed Jesus' feet, the sinful woman, or even Mary of Bethany, some said she was. But Pope Paul VI in 1969 removed the identification with Mary of Bethany and the sinful woman from the general Roman calendar. So most of that is just conjecture. It's conjecture. It's not exactly biblically accurate. But we do know for sure is that she was a close friend of Jesus and the apostles, and that she was radically converted. And she's a sign of tremendous encouragement, and should be a sign of tremendous encouragement for all of us, of what's really possible. What can Jesus do in a life that's given over to him, to someone who says yes to him? Here, this woman had been inhabited by 7 demons that Jesus had cast out of her, and he drew her close, as Jesus does to all of his disciples. He draws them close. We're all meant to walk with him. And her response to Jesus' mercy, to Jesus setting her free, was a radical abandonment of her life in trust to him. And at the core of it was love. She radically loved Jesus. So the church begins. The first reading is taken from the Song of Songs, one of the 8th chapter love song that were given in the Old Testament. And it reads this way. It's the bride speaking to her groom. And the bride says, on my bed at night I sought him, whom my heart loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise then and go about the city. In the streets and crossings I will seek him, whom my heart loves. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen came upon me as they made their rounds of the city. Have you seen him whom my heart loves? I had hardly left them when I found him whom my heart loves. So the church wants to present Mary, first of all, to us as someone who radically fell in love with Christ and is a sign for us of what it means, first and foremost, to be a disciple, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And she was filled with great gratitude. She responded to Jesus' mercy and the healing that she received, which is really what a deliverance is. When seven demons were cast from her, Jesus lifted from her probably a profound burden, and she was probably living in a deep level of enslavement to one degree or another to these demons who, remember, what are demons like? Well, they're like their master, Satan, who's an accuser, he's a liar, he torments, he seduces, he tempts. And so having seven demons assigned to her and having to wrestle with those day in and day out with any kind of power and authority over them made life very difficult for her. So she, having been freed from those by Jesus, her heart was free, she was transformed internally, and her response was to surrender her life totally to Jesus and become a deep follower of his. Another reading that the church offered as a possible first reading of the day was taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which talks about discipleship. It says, "Brothers and sisters," this is St. Paul, "the love of Christ impels us once we have come to the conviction that one have died for all. Therefore, all have died. He indeed died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." It speaks well of Mary, because Mary is exactly the kind of person who she's compelled to follow the Lord, to be with him, to serve him, to respond to his call on her life. And so it's love that's impelling her. And she's filled with a conviction that everything has changed in meeting Jesus, that the old person that she was is now dead, and something new happened. She came alive in Christ. And she understood that he died for all for a reason. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. Here's a good definition, you might say, of what it means to be a disciple. And what is the encounter with Jesus and conversion to Christ? What is it meant to lead to? Let me read it again. He died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Jesus died and was raised so that we would live no longer for ourselves, that the center of our focus, the center of gravity in our lives would shift away from our own ego, from the flesh, from slavery to the world, in Mary's case, under the domination of the devil in certain ways, the dominion and enslavement of the enemy. And when that happens, when somebody's in that condition, it's very difficult to live out the first commandment. It's very difficult to have God at the center, anybody else at the center, because the demons are constantly working to take center stage in a person's life and heart and imagination and to draw them deeper and deeper into enslavement. But the call is so clear, and Mary's such a fantastic example of it, that she's living no longer for themselves. But it's not simply a kind of another slavish surrender of her freedom. She is compelled, she's impelled from the heart with love. She's fallen in love with Jesus. She knows who he is. He's the pearl of great price, and she's given away everything now. And she's serving him and was with him all the time while he was in Galilee, made it all the way with him to the crucifixion. She witnessed it from a distance with Mary. She was the first to witness Jesus in the resurrection. Jesus entrusted so much to this woman. She's a great encouragement to me to think about. You know, one of the things that her life is such an encouragement for is because it's very clear that in the kingdom of God and as a disciple, you do not have to be defined by your past. Jesus has come to set us free. He's come to set us free from the domination of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And literally everybody that's ever lived, that's ever taken a breath, needs that kind of freedom that comes only from Jesus. It's only Jesus that allows us to move from death to life and to become a new creation. And he comes to us knowing that we're sick and that people who are sick and in need of a physician. And it's love that comes from the Father's heart expressed in the person of Jesus that leads us to new life and to new freedom. So this reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 goes on. It says, consequently, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Every person who's listening to the program, who's been baptized into Christ, has become a new creation. The Lord does not look on you just from a human point of view, nor should we as disciples, because something radical has happened to us. We've become a new creation in Christ. He's made his home in us. He has helped us confront the reality of our past, cleansed us with his grace and with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that past does not define us, and it doesn't mark us. So he takes away all that separates us from him. He gives us a new beginning, and he gives us a new power and a new capacity in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised him from the dead, that great power that's given to us through which we hear the gospel, we come to know Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that opens each human heart to the royalty, holiness, beauty, love, and majesty of Jesus. It's the Spirit that compels us to preach the gospel, but it's the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts that reveals to us the love of God. Really, the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son, and it's that gift that's given to us. And when fully received, the repentance, baptism, forgiveness of sins, when that Holy Spirit is received, a whole new love begins to lay hold of us. And it's a love that begins in the heart of God. And it's knowing the love he has for us, as Mary did. Mary knew it to the core of her being, that she had been set free, and that love, and not just generic love, but the love of a person, Jesus of Nazareth, set her free. It's that love that has the power to make each one of us a new creation. So it was in some way easy for her to surrender to the movement of the Holy Spirit in her heart to make Jesus the center of everything. The whole center of gravity of our lives, friends, is meant to change when we encounter the person of Jesus. We literally, as Paul says, we don't belong to ourselves any longer. We don't look at ourselves the way we used to look at ourselves. We look at ourselves now as a new creation in Christ, and that we belong to him, and that we live no longer for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died and rose again. That's the secret to a fruitful life in disciple as a disciple of Jesus, is to put him at the very center and to live no longer for ourselves, but for him. That's made possible by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. So today, let's pray and ask Mary Magdalene to pray for each and every one of us, that we would be radically changed. Lord Jesus, we ask you in your mercy, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of Our Lady, Mary, and through Mary Magdalene and all the saints, may each one of us come to encounter Christ in this way and follow in the footsteps of Mary, and to make Jesus the center and to not look back, to let your history be your history, but understand that you're now a new creation, a new power, and a new reality is in you. And Christ comes to you in love, not in condemnation, but he comes to engage you in a relationship that will last forever. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.